You're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport Campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
We're calling this Next Step Sunday. And in fact, this morning I'm going to be talking about really the absolute necessity of taking the next steps in our faith journeys, wherever they are, wherever that may be. And so let's pray first. Well, Father, thank you for this time together, as we can come together and just hear your word. Lord, would you bless it to us? Father, would you just have your way in and through us? Would you use your word as really just a catalyst for deeper and richer faith as we hear from you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Christians, you know, regardless of where any of us are, whether brand new believers, you can be knowing the Lord for many, many, many decades, or anywhere in between, even pastors, we all must have a next step. And that includes whether you're experiencing kind of a lukewarm season. You know, it could be including those who may be really struggling, or it could be, as Pastor Seth prayed, some that are just plain stuck. And if that is the case, well, my prayer is that this is a word for you this morning. I'm also praying, speaking to those this morning who aren't sure about any of that. In other words, you're just like still curious about the things of the Lord, or where your place is, or where you might fit into that. And to that I'll say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. So how many of you wear a Fitbit or an Apple Watch? It's quite a few of you. How many check it regularly? Pretty much throughout the day, right? It's like, all right, how many steps do I got? How many steps, right? In fact, that's what we think. We think about how many steps, oh, what's my heart rate, how many hours of sleep did I get, how much water did I drink, you know, how's my hair look? I mean, you name it. There's something there that you could check on that. And so think of taking the next step as gaining steps, or better yet, elevating your spiritual heart rate. And if you start to wonder, you know, during or after this message, what the pulse is of your spiritual life, well, that's a good thing. In fact, in tracking your steps with a Fitbit, here's the thing. Standing still doesn't really register, right? And so it's the same with our spiritual life. So speaking of standing still, so I actually Googled standing still, and 96 different quotes came up. All right? So you ready? No, I'm just kidding. But here are a few. Here are a few that I thought were interesting. So here's one. Don't fear moving slowly. Fear standing still. Because if you're standing still, you're really falling back. Okay. In life, you're either growing or rotting. You're moving forward or backwards. There is no standing still. A little graphic there, but we get the idea. Many a false step is made standing still. It's better to fail in honest attempt than to default with inertia. Okay, I'll think about that one for a second, but I thought that was a little lofty, but a good one. And here's my favorite. When God says go forward, don't even think about standing still. You know, in church we have a name for next steps in going forward, spiritual formation, which is really discipleship. In fact, spiritual formation, discipleship, is the task of the church. There's a commentator that I really enjoy. His name is James Wilhoit, and he simply said this: the church was formed to form. And you know, many of you know that the charge for spiritual formation and discipleship certainly was actually given by none other than Jesus himself. Go make disciples, baptizing and teaching the new disciples, Christ's command, right? The great commission of the church. In fact, you can turn to that in your Bibles, because I'm going to read that, or we have also have it here on screen. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Great Commission. the spiritual mandate to all believers, which speaks to the lifelong process of discipleship, of in becoming and then making disciples. Yet, according to a recent survey by the Barna Group, this is a group that researches spiritual beliefs and behaviors in America. It says more than 60% of believers have no plan for their own spiritual development. And I would say that sounds, you know, kind of high to me. That means no vision, no intentionality, no accountability, all crucial components of spiritual formation and discipleship, and all missing. You know, theologians have called this kind of a non-discipleship form of Christianity, you know, where we can certainly keep people busy, right? You know, programs and church activities and all kinds of fun things and so forth, all good things, but really in themselves, no lasting transformation. Not exactly, I think, what the Lord had in mind, but the remedy is really simple. It's simple for pastors and for leaders, and it's simple for every church member. Here it is. Here's the formula. Know Jesus and make him known. That's the formula. Know Jesus and make him known. So simple. Know, meaning know Jesus personally. And we'll get into that as we go through this message. Meaning understanding what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then make him known by reproducing that knowledge in others. You can say the know part is based on the greatest commandment. In fact, the greatest commandment was when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, this was his reply. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22. This is followed by the Great Commission. I say this because, listen, you can't make them, meaning disciples, unless you are one. And you're really not one unless you make them. You think about that? So being a disciple, meaning a Christ follower, means not only knowing what he said, but doing what he did. You know, the phrase the Apostle Paul used, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He said that in 1 Corinthians 11 and in other places. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You know, the Bible doesn't give us much detail about the Lord between his birth account and his when he started his public ministry. But we have a little bit of a window. It's in Luke 2:52, when Jesus was a youngster. And this is it. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is amazing to me, because it shows us that Jesus himself was in process. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This tells us that Jesus grew through the very means that are available for us, which means he has kind of given us a way of growing up into the fullness of all he has for us. You see, Jesus was in process. Now I realize, you know, in saying that, you know, certainly he had a divine nature and has a divine nature, so we obviously do not possess the same power and unique godly attributes as Christ. However, because he was God made man, we can and do share in the power that is at work in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, the name Christian, by the way, means little Christs. You know that? It means that's the technical name for Christian, little Christs. And so we who have been transformed understand, even as finite humans, we understand our union with him. John 15:4, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You know, there's a theologian by the name of Callistos Warr, and he said it this way. The incarnation equally is a doctrine of sharing or participation. Christ shares to the full in what we are, and so he makes it possible for us to share in what he is. in his divine life and glory. He became what we are so to make us what he is. That means, that's what it means to be a disciple. So to make us what he is. Now I'm going to give you three kind of dimensions of how we do this. And I have some notes on the on your bulletins, as you've probably seen, that we could kind of go through together. The first is this. It's by sharing in his ministry of practice. Now, these are the steps we take, the habits we form, which cause spiritual growth. In fact, in the four Gospels, we find over 100 acts of devotion practiced by Jesus. Some were done in private, some were done with his disciples, and some were done and carried out in public settings. But the point is this. Jesus practiced the spiritual disciplines. And just for the record, according to Donald Whitney, he has this awesome book called The Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. He said the spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus was all about prayer. He was all about meditation. He was all about study, all key disciplines. In fact, here's a few examples I'm just going to read real quick in Scripture about Jesus' devotional life. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to pray like you. That was in Luke 11. It says also in Luke 5, he withdrew to a deserted place to pray. He said this about himself. Everything written about me in the law of Moses. Why? Because he knew his Bible. He knew exactly his Bible. So therefore, he could say, everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, which makes up, that's the Bible, must be fulfilled. That was Luke 24. See, Jesus embodied all the spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, fellowship, suffering. Yes, that is a discipline. And of course, intake of the Word, because he is the Word. And you know, as we routinely practice the disciplines, what occurs in us is a very, very, very vital thing, Christ-likeness. Now, this is the process of being conformed to his image, where we take on not only the characteristics, but the very character of Christ, Christ-likeness. In fact, the words Christ-likeness, discipleship, spiritual formation are all interchangeable terms. And that's why you'll hear me say them all interchangeably, because they all relate to growth as we become more and more like him. You know, the Apostle Paul said, my little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. He's saying, I am going through the pains of childbirth. That's how much I want to see Christ formed in you. That's how vital, you know, like a spiritual mother, the apostles laboring and birth pains until Christ was formed in them. That's how vital that is. That believers continue in process. The goal of every believer, I might add. Because remember, if you're standing still, you're really what? Falling back. And here's what's so amazing. Our Lord invites us to participate with him as we engage in these practices. He is inviting us to a certain way of living in process, in process. He said, he's saying, I've been, as I was walking the earth, ministering, you know, as the scriptures indicate, I was in process. I was increasing, you know, in favor, you know, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He wants us to embrace it and to engage in it as he did. And listen, when we participate with him, as we practice the spiritual disciplines, not only does it change the core attitudes of our heart, but they are a virtual spiritual thoroughfare of God's grace and power in our lives, where our love for God, our obedience to Him and our overall trust in Him has deepened. We're being intentional about seeking the Lord, and He's blessing that beyond our measure, not just with knowledge, but with His grace and with His power, because we're intentional. We're seeking the Lord, which really makes possible the second dimension for us to follow, His ministry of pouring. And that's not to say that Jesus wasn't an awesome waiter, you know, but the pouring I'm talking about, because He did pour into a bucket. That was a very futile attempt at a joke, so excuse me. But I have to make a note, do not use second service. Okay, so, but all that to say, His ministry of pouring, meaning as in pouring into others. And this is where we make Him known, okay, so to know Him, and now we're making Him known. And there's really two aspects to making Him known. The first is where we pour ourselves out for others, we demonstrate Jesus' heart for the needy. We demonstrate Jesus' heart for the needy as we do this. In fact, this is great. When Jesus first kind of introduced Himself, when He first started His public ministry, this is in Luke chapter 4, He was in His hometown. Some of you know that story, that account, I should say. And so He's there in the synagogue and at the beginning of His public ministry. And so He was given the scroll and to read from the passage in Isaiah. And He proclaimed this about Himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Right? And so, and then He closed the scroll, and then He said, you know, this is fulfilled in you know, your hearing and all that. But it's for this reason that He would say, even just a couple of chapters later in Luke, He would say, "Blessed are you who are poor." In other words, because I am here for you, and yours is the kingdom of God. "Blessed are you who are hungry." You know, He's saying, because I am here for you, and you shall be satisfied. You know, "Blessed are you who weep now." You know, because I am here for you, and you shall laugh. Jesus' heart for the lowly is so apparent in the Gospels. In fact, especially in the Gospel of Luke, it's kind of one of the key themes of that Gospel. So that's one aspect of pouring, is as we demonstrate Christ's love for the needy in what we do. The other is related to investing in others, right? And so we see this through the Lord as well. You know, spiritual reproduction. This is the call to share with others what we know, and quite frankly, what Jesus has done for us. And we see how Jesus did this amongst the 12, such as with Peter at the end of John's Gospel in John chapter 21. You're familiar with this. We said, "Feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep." You know, that was his charge to the Apostle Peter. We also see with the Apostle Paul in his letter late in his ministry to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:2. "What you have heard from me," because he imitates who? Right? "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So there's four generations of disciples mentioned there, just in that one statement. And so this is the process of spiritual reproduction, which began in the early church, and is to continue until the Lord returns. And what a word that is to us, right? Just think about it. We have a link in the chain. So a little piece of chain here. This kind of represents, so each link represents a believer, you see. And so each believer is linked to another. And so what Paul was saying to Timothy and what we know from the scriptures and just the importance of what, of course, Jesus said in the Great Commission, right, to be disciple makers, is he's saying basically, keep this going, you know, keep investing in others. There's no other option. You know, make sure the link in the chain isn't broken. Don't be a broken link. You know, keep this thing going. You know, when I was, I guess, probably 12 years ago or so, I went to a Promise Keepers rally at the Nassau Coliseum. It was just a great experience. And they had given out these little chain links, just one single link that I actually still wear on my keychain today, to this very day. It's a reminder for me that I'm not going to be the broken link. You know, I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to keep this going. That's my personal commitment to the Lord and, quite frankly, to the faith. It's why I'm a believer. So we share in Jesus' ministry of practice. We share in Jesus' ministry of pouring. And finally, we share in Jesus' ministry of power. In the Great Commission, the very last sentence is, "And I am with you always to the end of the age." How was he with them? How was he with them always? You know? I mean, he was with them physically when he was with them. But as he was ready to ascend, right, he wasn't going to be with them physically. So how was he with them always? Obviously, the Holy Spirit, exactly. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father and of the Son. The Spirit of truth, who will not only be with you, but will be what? In you. That's what he told the guys, John 14. He repeats that promise in Acts 1:8 as he is about to ascend to the Father. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit, and sure enough, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit manifested that on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is our source in that it is impossible to be a Christ follower and a disciple maker unless we are empowered and led by the Spirit. It is the Spirit who indwells all those who believe. Some call the Spirit very correctly, I believe, and commentators will attest to this. The Holy Spirit is the agent of the new birth. For those who receive Christ as Savior, it's not just "I receive Christ." There's a spiritual transaction that occurs, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside the hearts of all those who are fully forgiven by what Christ did on the cross for them. And so they are new creations. And the Spirit is the agent for all that. In fact, any effort in discipleship and in Christlikeness is only effective when it is saturated by grace, received through prayer. Remember that thoroughfare I'm talking about. Received through prayer, through heartfelt study, and an awareness that we cannot do anything in our own power. We do our part, which is to be intentional, especially in the disciplines, and we let God do his part. Allow the Spirit to empower each of you to keep you in process. Remember what I said at the beginning, it all starts with the next step. So the question is, have you thought about what your next step might be? Let me ask you this, what is the reading of your spiritual Fitbit? Are you gaining steps? Is your heart rate healthy? You know? What's it saying? So now, we call this Next Step Sunday because we're very, very, very serious about people taking next steps and us helping people to do that. And so we have something on our website that I want to show you all. This is ICC's process for spiritual formation, for discipleship, for Christ. I mean, as we're in process, we have something on the website that I'm going to actually walk up here and show you guys. Pastor Josh is going to be assisting as we put this up, and we're just praying for the Holy Spirit to keep our internet live. So let's. All right. So if you go on our website, this is what you'll see, Next Step Sunday, which is obviously today. And but if you go up on the nav bar and right where it says get involved, that's it. Right on the next steps, you click on that. And what you come to is a page. Now, we've always had a Next Steps page, but it was kind of fragmented. But here we're putting it together like kind of as a process. for people to follow. And so you'll see a circle. Where are you in your faith journey? So now, I guess everybody can see. So we actually borrowed this from Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Church. This is the five C's: community, crowd, congregation, committed, and core. All right. So what that does is it shows really the process of spiritual development or spiritual formation. You know, people start out in the community. And I'm not talking about community of believers here. I'm talking about the neighborhoods. Okay, so people are out in the neighborhoods. All right. And what happens is that, you know, in fact, if Pastor Josh, if you scroll a little further, what we've done is we've taken each of those five C's and we put them in the, you know, in kind of a little bit of a chart. All right. So here's the stage of each of these areas of development. And so, and the who are, for example, people in a community haven't yet come to church yet, all right? And so then the what has to do more with, you know, what is it that's going to draw them, or what do they need? And then the how is how you could go to the next step, okay? So I'll just kind of walk you through some of this. So we have the community, not yet come to church. So what's the draw is evangelism. And how we reach them, quite frankly, is outreach. And so each of the hows, by the way, if you hover your mouse over it, it'll actually take you to a place on our website where you could take an action step or at least find out more about that particular area. So we have community, crowd. I'll just spend a second on crowd. So crowd are the people who come here for the first time or have just started coming, you know, for a couple of three times already. They like what they see. They're like, this is pretty cool. I'm enjoying the worship and so forth. You know, next from crowd, so and the hope is that people from the crowd start to become people from the congregation, where one or two visits becomes more visits, and then before you know it, you know, they're a regular attender, or you're a regular attender, and that's happened with so many of you, right? You started coming, you like it, you're starting to meet some people, it's like, yeah, I can come here, and you're coming, all right? So we just don't want you to just come and say, okay, I'm going home, see you next Sunday. We want to say to you, you know what, you're coming. We want to help you to grow and take that next step. And so if you stay with the congregation, if you just go over to the right, you'll see we have small groups and classes with something called Elements of Christian Living. We have something called Starting Point. And just this morning I read the name of three people who are now going to be welcomed in as members. So those are progressive steps. So for example, Pastor Josh, just go up to small groups and classes. So many of you know that we are all about life groups here. Life groups are such an important fabric of what we have here at the church. And as a matter of fact, right out those doors after service, I would ask you to check out, especially if you're not in a group or curious about groups, Susie Nicolosi is going to be standing along with other life group leaders at a little booth. And they're going to be able to talk to you a little bit about life groups, you know, what it's like, and meet some of the leaders and maybe ask some questions. And you can even sign up for a visit. Okay, so that's right after the service if you'd like to do that. Josh, take us back out of this. I mentioned ECL. Elements of Christian Living is something that we designed here at the church, which is geared to help people not only take the next step, but really do a deep dive into Scripture. You know, learn about the Bible, what that's all about, and beyond that, do a deep dive into the book of Ephesians, in which the Apostle Paul, who wrote that, it's a wonderful book because it's got two halves. The first half is him saying, you know, this is what I want you to know about Jesus in you. And the second half is, now this is what I want you to do with that information. And so we study that in ECL. It's a four-week course. In fact, the next one starts this coming Sunday, a week from today, on the 27th, and you can register. So when you click onto that, this is what you get, and so you can register. So what we're showing you is not only, you know, the stages, but who those folks might be in those stages, how, you know, and then, of course, just relate it to what draws you, and then how you could take that next step. So these are those. If you can go back to the chart there. So beyond that, so now you're saying, all right, I've been coming to the church, I'm in a Bible study, you know, in a small group, I'm in a life group, I'm really growing, this is wonderful. Talk to me about discipleship training. In other words, I want to go that next level because the Scripture does say, you know, make disciples, and that's me too, so how do I do that? So we have a training set up where people could go on this particular page, get some detail about it, email us, and we'll set you up. Believe me, we will set you up, okay, for a discipleship training group. And so, and then the core are people that actually are doing that. They're life group leaders. They're teachers. They're people that are actively making disciples. And so that's that level. And so that's just a little bit of a snapshot of not only what it's all about and how we can help, but what to do next. You know, everyone needs a next step. And quite frankly, sometimes the next step is like not just my, you know, a desire. I wish I can do that. That's not really a next step. This is a next step. And so I would encourage you guys, in fact, right at the bottom of that, it says, contact us with any questions or thoughts about your next step, because we're all on this journey together. And so rather than just read it, email us and say, here's where I'm at. This is where I'd like to go. How could you help? You know? We're here for you. We're here for you. Just don't go it alone. That's the thing. That doesn't work in the Christian life. In fact, by identifying where you are, you're already moving forward. That's already a next step. By kind of making that, taking that assessment, even if you're stuck, even if you're struggling, you know, God brings about an amazing thing when you're struggling, you know, if you let him. If you let him use your struggles for his glory to draw you closer, that's what it's all about. Listen, growth is painful. We all know that. But so can be staying the same. Growth is painful, but so is staying the same, really. And I don't know about you, but I know what pain I want. There's a place in your bulletin, by the way, down at the bottom. I'm not standing still. My next step will be. I would encourage you to put something in that space there. Seriously. In fact, once you do that, that's when you can email us back. Right from that form on that page. You know, just put something down there. Just, again, make it measurable. Just want to encourage you about that. Make it measurable. Otherwise, it's just words. Like, for example, I wouldn't say my next step is to pray more. You know? My next step is to read the Bible more. You know, have a plan. The point is have a plan. You may say, help me with a plan. Or, you know, we have a prayer class that's happening with Pastor Mike and Pastor Josh and Frank Fernandez. We do that because we want people to really have an enriching prayer life. And so there is things, you know, there are certainly things that we can do. But a next step is an actual step. You know, the journey is one, as I said, for us to take together and to engage in. And listen, with the idea that we're all going to have an eternal home. You know, we all need to anticipate what our, you know, our eternal home. And quite frankly, when you're operating in your Christian life with a view of eternity, things are just so much better. You know, just take my word for it. In fact, don't take my word for it. Take the Apostle Paul's word for it. Keeping his eye on the prize. I'm just going to read this final scripture. Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. So I know there's some maybe here this morning that where your next step is really to open up your heart fully to the Lord. And we want to say to that, amen, amen. And so if that is the desire of your heart, I'm just going to pray this prayer and just agree with it. Well, Father, thank you for just this time to just get the full breath of your desire for us to grow. And Lord, it starts with opening my heart up to you, my Lord Jesus Christ, to make you my Lord and Savior, for the forgiveness of my sins that I just lay at the cross right now. And I ask you to come into my heart. Make me a new person, just as was talked about. Give me a new heart. Change my trajectory in this life and in the next. And Father, for those that are contemplating next steps right now, I ask that you would indeed speak to them, show them your way. Help them to realize and to stick to this plan, where when you say to go forward, you say, I'm going forward. And Lord, I pray that that would be there in their hearts right now. For those who are just feeling isolated, God, I just want to pray that there's no reason for that. We're a community of believers here. We're in the struggle together. Father, help each person know that. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.